This program is brought to you by the partners and friends of Creflo Dollar Ministries.
Coming up next on Changing Your World.
We've got to learn how to fellowship with God in the midst of everyday life. See, that's the key to it. Not going away for 30 days and going on a fasting and prayer, and there's nothing wrong with that. But how do I relate with Him in the midst of my everyday life?
It's time to live a life bold for Christ. It's time to come together from all over the world as we discover truth, build up our faith, and ignite a fire to reveal Christ in our daily lives. Don't miss the 2021 Grace Life Conference, July 15th through the 16th. Register now and get more info by texting Grace Life to 51555 or by visiting CreflodollarMinistries.org.
I want to start off with something that just really talks of the character of God. You know, when you think of God, you think, well, you know, He should show up in a big chariot, showing up in a comet coming down. But in the book of Matthew chapter 11 and 29, pay very close attention to this lesson today. The Lord delights in using subtle ways to reveal Himself. Subtle ways to reveal Himself. He could have manifested in a much more glorious manner when He came to the earth. I mean, think about it. Coming to the earth, lying in a manger. I mean, listen, it could have been a huge dramatic event. You know, He could have ridden in on a comet and landed on the top of the temple at midnight. The earth could have shook. Lightning would have flashed. Thunder would have, you know, turned into like a rap music. He's subtle. Realize this about God. It's not like some of the movies we see. God is, you know, you remember when I said God does things secretly and quietly? He's subtle. He's secret. He's quietly. Not a secret from you, but look at this scripture. I believe this defines His character. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Matthew 11:29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly. There it is. Jesus, He said of Himself, He says, I'm meek and I'm lowly. I think we need to agree with that. Lord, help us to be meek and lowly like You. He says, I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, and here's what you learn of Him. I am meek and lowly. God is not as dramatic as some preachers are. He is meek and He is lowly. He is subtle. God is subtle. And so the Lord delights in using subtle ways to reveal Himself. You know, I can remember I had an injury in my back and, you know, had already thanked God for it and believed that I received it. And the pain was still there, but I was spend more time paying attention to what God said versus the pain. And right along, you know, the end of that week or something like that, He had to remind me, you notice your back isn't hurting? And I'm like, wow, sure did. See, it wasn't some gigantic lightning bolt that hit and said, now your back is healed. He did it subtly because He's meek and He's lowly. It's the same way when you begin to look at your needs in your life. Okay, so it wasn't that you went to the mailbox and there in the mailbox and the trumpets were playing and you opened the envelope up and bam, there was $1 million check. But you know what God does? Just bit by bit, everything's taken care of. Just at the end of the day, everything's taken care of. And before you know it, several months has gone by, and that whole dilemma is no longer there. Why? Because he is meek and lowly. He is subtle in revealing himself. And that really ministers to me, because I'm not looking for the big drama in the heavens for God. I'm looking for a meek and subtle God, a God who is meek and subtle. And I don't want to miss that. I don't want to miss that meek and subtle God showing up in my life, doing something so magnificent in my life. And so the Lord is not, you know, spectacular in just a lot of things he does. He is spectacular, don't get me wrong. But he's meek and he's lowly. And that's what this scripture says to me. So we need to learn how to fellowship with God in the midst of our everyday life. We got, and that's the key. How do I fellowship with God? How do I commune with God in the midst of my everyday life? In the midst of a job that I have to go to? In the midst of people that I have to deal with that may not be saved people? In the midst of situations that are not very comfortable situations at home or in relationship? We've got to learn how to fellowship with God in the midst of everyday life. See, that's the key to it. Not going away for 30 days and going to fasting and prayer, and there's nothing wrong with that. But how do I relate with him in the midst of my everyday life? He's subtle, but in the midst of my everyday, that's the goal. That's the objective that we want to achieve, is how to relate with him in the midst of my everyday life. Now, you think about the things you have going on every day in your life. How do I relate with him? How do I pay attention to that subtle God in my everyday life? So at the end of the day, and I talk to him, he's talking to me about my day, I'm talking to him about my day. And even while I'm talking to him, I realize, oh, wow, you were there, you did that. Oh, I didn't even realize, yeah, that didn't happen. Well, you noticed that person that was treating you real bad, they were treating you, I didn't notice that, God. I started saying, I didn't notice that, God. But that's how he is. And it's time for us to learn how to fellowship with him. Now, I want to show you something, because I've seen this in churches and even in my own life, where I thought I had to really beg God, and I had to bombard heaven in order to get God to do something for me. Is that true? Do I have to knock the gates of heaven down and go in there and holler and scream and bombard heaven in order for God to do something? Is that the truth? I just told you his character. And that's why I started off with this, because this is so important. We're going to study out of Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, let me turn there. And we're going to look at how this subtle God shows up. And is it true that we have to bombard heaven? And I'm telling you, I don't have to beg God. I don't have to plead with God. And I thought at one time you did. And I'm telling you right now, I'm going to start right now. You don't have to beg God. You don't have to plead with God. And a lot of times, that's just showing something else different. It's like, why are you begging and pleading with God? And I've seen that. Come on. I used to do that. We only do what we know to do until we know better, all right? And so let's look at this story here in Luke chapter 11. And when you get to Luke chapter 11, let's look at verse 1. And we're going to study all the way through this. Verse 1, he says, "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." Verse 2, "And he said unto them, When you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven. That will be done as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight," he's your friend, "and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves, For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing set before him. And so you go to a friend, right? And he from within shall answer and say, so he didn't say it out loud, but on the inside, that's what he was thinking. Trouble me not. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed, and I cannot rise and give thee. Verse 8, he said, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity. What is that? Importunity. It means when you beg someone to do something. That's basically what it is. Importunity. It's the persistence in solicitation. It's when you beg someone to do something. You're persistent at asking and asking and begging and pleading. Importunity. So he says, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needed. All right, now notice what he said. He says, you showed up and you asked a friend to do it, but he said he didn't want to do it on the inside. And he said you had to beg him. You had to plead with him to do this thing, all right? Now, let's pause here just for a moment. Now, this passage is commonly taught that God is like this friend. That's how we're commonly hearing it. God is like this friend. You must go to him when you have a need, but when you first ask for it to be met, he may answer no. He may answer not now. Or he may answer, I'm not ready. And therefore, you must stay after God. You got to badger God. You got to badger him, and you got to be persistent in praying your request over and over and over again until you make him give you what you need. And then basically, you must bombard the gates of heaven until they open. That's how it's been taught. That's not at all what Jesus is talking about here. Please pay very close attention to what he's talking about here. What Jesus is saying is, if you were my real friend, I wouldn't have to beg you. If you were my real friend, all I have to do is ask and you would do it. He said, you wouldn't have to beg a real friend. You wouldn't have to plead with a real friend. And this is more of a contrast of what a real friend is should be versus a comparison. And Jesus says, you know, if a real friend should respond without begging and pleading, then how much more do you think I should respond? You see how the church took that whole thing around and said, hey, we got to be just like this man. We got to show up and beg and plead. And if he say no, we got to keep begging and pleading. If he say not now, we got to keep begging and pleading. But don't stop begging. Don't stop pleading until you get what you want. And the church starts shouting over. And that ain't at all what he's talking about. He said, if you were a friend, begging and pleading is not required. You would do it. He says, I'm more than a friend. And so how do I know he's saying this? Look at the next verse in verse 9. Look at what he says. He said, when he said that, he said, I say unto you, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be open. You know what Jesus is saying? You don't need to beg and plead with me like this guy did. I'm a real friend. Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek, you shall find. Knock and the door shall be open. You don't have to plead and bombard heaven and beg and all that kind of stuff. He says a real friend would know to respond to a friend. And Jesus is saying, I'm a real friend. None of that is required when you come to me. Oh, my goodness. None of that's required when you come to me. And then look at the next verse. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be open to him. He says, because I'm more than a friend. I'm more than a friend. I'm going to do this thing without you begging. And go on to the next verse. He says, if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? He says, so look at a father and a son's relationship. He says, a real father's not going to give you a stone when you need fish to eat. Will he for fish give him a serpent? No, not a real father. And God is more than a father. God is more than a friend. You don't have to beg him. So this thing that we do in prayer all night long, I don't even know how people do it. I used to do it, and I used to fall asleep, and I thought, well, I'm not a good Christian because I'm tired, and I'm hungry, and I realized today I don't ever have to beg God. He's my friend. He's my friend. He is delighted. He said, you remember the Bible says that he's delighted to give us the keys to the kingdom? It is his pleasure to give you the keys to the kingdom. And whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. It is the Father's pleasure to give you the keys to the kingdom. I want you to erase that. And I know a lot of people have been taught that. Let's just bombard heaven. Let's just beg God. Let's just plead with God. No. Ask. He'll answer. Seek. You're going to find. Knock. The door's going to open. He'll treat you better than a father would treat his son. This is what this prayer is about. That you know you have a Jesus, a God who is meek and lowly and who's ready to respond to you. And in some cases, like I said, I believe it was last week, some cases God will answer you before you ask. He'll open the door before you knock. You will find it before you seek, because that's what happens in that communion, in that developing of a relationship and the developing through that communion. God's doing stuff for you. God's doing stuff for you. And so I hope you got a hold of that. So if a friend would treat you better than this, why would you think God must be begged and pleaded with to meet your need? God loves you. God died for you. God gave his son for you. Look at this scripture, Romans chapter 8, 32. Look at it in the King James and then the New Living Translation. Oh, my goodness. What a relief to know that I don't have to beg God. What a relief to know that I don't have to bombard the gates of heaven. What a relief to know. And then you have to think about what, you know, people in these intercessory groups, they're just begging and pleading with God. And, man, I go in and do in 2 minutes what they're trying to do in 24 hours. When you know him and you're communing with him. Look at what he says. It says, he that spared not his own son, but he delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? All right, so here's what he's saying. I gave you my son. I gave you the most valuable thing heaven had to offer. Seriously, you think I'm going to withhold something from you? You think I'm going to hold this little thing from you when I gave you my son? You think I'm going to hold healing from you when I gave you my son? I'm going to withhold deliverance from you when I gave you my son? I'm going to withhold favor from you when I gave you my son? In a lot of cases, God wants you to have it more than what you want it. Look at this in the Amplified. In the NLT. He says, since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? That's powerful. He made Jesus available to us. I like what he says here. Won't he also give us everything else? That is so good. That is so good. Won't he always give us everything else? Now, let me show you where and why communion with God and communion with his word is very important. Because if you just start preaching to people that their motivation is pleasing self, then they're going to always be asking for the wrong thing. They're going to always ask God something that's going to satisfy themselves. And that's why when you're communing with God, you allow the Holy Spirit to come in and change your desire. The Bible talks about that the Spirit of God will come and change your desire to do what pleases God. And to change your desire, there's a scripture that says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you will and it shall be given. Here's the key. Abiding in the word is going to correct your asking. It's gonna govern your asking. By me spending time in the word, whatever I thought I would ask maybe 10 years before that, I spent so much time in that word that my asking now has been changed, and I'm now asking according to His will. I didn't know. I thought, well, give me a car, give me this. All of that was me asking what brings pleasure to me. What about going to God and say, God, I want to know clearly what I've been put here to do, and equip me with everything I need so that I can be successful in accomplishing the will of God for my life. And then all those other things come behind that. Ah, that's so important. That's so important. And since He gave you His Son, He's not going to give you everything else? He's not going to give you everything else? We have to be careful not to put ourselves in the center of this relationship with God. It's got to be about Him and not about you. Prayer is as much about the right attitude and the right motivations than the right volume and the right posture. We spend so much time on the posture and the volume. Should my hands be folded? Should I be on my face? You know, how long should I do this? How long should I do that? He gave you Jesus. He will give you everything else. That really, really blessed me to know that God loves me so much that He will cause that to happen. So the whole point of this parable is that God won't treat you like this. That's the whole point of the parable. God is not going to treat you the way that guy who was supposed to be His friend treated his friend. And that's what that means. It means, I mean, I'm sure the friend was disappointed, like, dude, you seriously gonna make me sit out here and beg you and plead with you? Instead of just coming and helping me out, God won't treat you like that. That's awesome. And that gives me great, great, great desire to want to praise the Lord, because I know I got a God that won't treat me like that. And so contrast, you know, I believe that was a contrast being made. It means to compare in order to show unlikeness or differences, and that's what this was. It was showing and comparing in contrast this friend versus God being the friend. And that's what he was showing. I'm comparing God's friendship to you versus this guy's friendship to his guy. And God was like, I'm going to be the friend that won't treat you like that friend. And so it means to exhibit unlikeliness on comparison with something else. That's what this is about. So it took the achievements of Christ to really rescue my mind from the lies it's believed. To rescue my mind from the lies. Look at 2 Corinthians 4:7. It took the achievements of Christ to rescue my mind from all the lies that I believed, and especially the lies that we've believed about prayer. I want you to think about this as we come near a close. You know, the last 3-4 weeks we've been talking about this. Have you been able to identify the lies that you've been told about prayer? You know, verse 7 says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. That's an amazing thing to me, that the excellency of the power is not of me. It took the achievements of Christ to rescue my mind from the lies that is believed. And God lives on the inside of me. And we have this treasure in earthen vessels, and it's not of us, it's of Him.
Do you want to see lasting breakthrough that moves your life in a better direction? Then what you need is an effective prayer life. In this new 10-message series, Prayer into Communion, Creflo Dollar reveals how to commune with God and see the same power that Jesus has.
Prayer is receiving by faith what He has already done. You go to God and talk about what He said about your prosperity. You talk to Him about what He said about your peace. You talk to Him about what He said about your relationships. And if you don't know what He said, you take time to look up what He said, write it down on a piece of paper, and take it with you in prayer. Even in prayer, your words produce either death or life. Praying God's solutions from the Word will release life.
Get all 10 messages for a love gift of just $45 or more, plus shipping and handling. Don't miss out. Visit our website or call the number on your screen to order your series today.
Creflo Dollar Ministries TV app brings you live church services direct to your smart TV and much more. Don't miss a service and catch up on the latest messages from Creflo and Taffy Dollar, like No More Worries, Overcoming Uncertainty, and countless other life-changing series streaming on the Creflo Dollar Ministries TV app. You'll also get access to Changing Your World Network, streaming grace messages and exclusive content 24 hours a day right in the app.
Holy Spirit's not sitting around reminding you of what you did in the past. That's condemnation. He's not going to do that.
If any man is in Christ, he is a new species of being. You know why? Because of the image of Christ.
Get unlimited streaming through Roku, Amazon, and Apple TV absolutely free. Visit your app store, search Creflo Dollar Ministries, and download the Creflo Dollar Ministries TV app now to start streaming. For more information, visit CreflodollarMinistries.org.
World Changers Church International and Creflo Dollar Ministries are committed to changing lives all over the world. Your generous gifts are helping us to do just that. For your added convenience, we want to invite you to join Change Express, our automatic giving service. You can give monthly and change lives by having your love gift deducted from your checking account or credit card on the same day every month. To sign up, log on to CreflodollarMinistries.org right now.
When done properly, prayer is not just communicating with God, but it is also communing with Him. This loving communion should be constant, not just for a few minutes each day. We strive for a continual communication with our family members, and this should be especially true with God. So we must approach our Heavenly Father as a real person, not as a religious symbol. You see, true prayer is not a recital. It's not you getting up and just reciting words and just, you know, just running your mouth in a religious way. But when you begin to go before God in prayer, it's a dialogue. It's you speaking to Him and then God speaking back to you. It's you going to God and showing Him gratitude and thanksgiving and appreciation for all that He's done. But it's mainly building upon a relationship where He's talking to you, you're receiving from Him, and you can talk to Him like your best friend. In the name of Jesus, I believe you're going to get better results in your prayer time with God than ever before. So treat Him like your Heavenly Father, not because you have to, but because you want to.
Whatever you need today, no matter how big or small, bring it before the Lord in prayer. You may request prayer today by phoning in or posting your prayer request online at CreflodollarMinistries.org.
Because of you, Creflo Dollar Ministries is providing a new understanding of grace and empowering change in the lives of millions of people every day. Thank you, partners and friends. Your love and financial support makes it possible to bring this message into millions of homes all across the globe.